Hi guys, welcome back to the Mel Kay Show. I'm super excited because not only is my friend here today an incredible documentary filmmaker and has done so much for the movement to wake up patriots, he also goes on tour and he has been putting together an amazing an account of the Reawaken America tour that I've been on, and we've become good friends, me and his wife, and I really am blessed today to have Matthew Thayer back to talk a little bit about the tour and about his new film and documentary that we should all be watching. It really will pump you up. Like, please also join us at the events. They're all over the country. They keep coming. And once you get there, you realize not only are we the majority, but most people love God, country, want justice and peace, and family matters the most. Thank you for joining me, Matthew.
Hey, Mel, thanks for having me on.
Hi.
I'm a recurring guest now. Yeah, this is amazing.
Well, we're friends. So it's a pleasure to have you always to see you. I'm a big fan of both you and your wife and your amazing children. And you guys have been touring the country on the front lines, watching the Great Awakening in real time and filming it for people who haven't been out there. And I think it's really crucial that everyone take a look at what is going on, what is happening. For it gives you a lot of hope and renewed energy and faith. And I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the documentary and your thoughts on where we are in the Great Awakening.
Well, yeah, I mean, first off, you can find the documentary at reawakeningseries.com. And right now we're running a special for everyone, all of the Mel Kay universe for youth. I don't know what you call you. You have a clan name and all?
Or? No, but I'll come up with one. But right now come I'll up call with it
the Mel Kay clan. There you go. Mel Kay clan. Right. Anyway. Yeah, you can spell clan with a K. No.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah. See, you're not just a pretty face. You're very talented. Yeah, I mean, and anyway, I'm so people should.
Yeah. Right. Anyway, so so reawakeningseries.com. If you use the code MELK, you get 10% off any of the packages, and it's a pre-order package. With that package, with that entry, you also get entered into a chance to meet General Flynn by winning two VIP tickets to Dallas, the Dallas event,
great,
the Reawaken tour. And you also get an exclusive backstage pass, which they do not sell. So it's pretty much like a $1,200 plus, you know, a prize package. Wow. And then there's several packages to choose from on the documentary site. So reawakeningseries.com. And each one of the packages also comes with the Trump I Know for free, right, which is my previous documentary, which came out last year.
Right.
So you get to watch something immediately. There's also options where you can buy a package with swag and a t-shirt and a hat and all that sort of stuff. So
cool.
And everything goes towards helping us make the rest of the documentary, because right now we're working on episode one, and our intention is to create three more additional episodes. The episode that we're working on right now is really kind of just setting the stage and kind of going over some foundational stuff. I'm really excited about it because I actually learned some stuff making the documentary, which is always refreshing and fun, right? So as you're working through the documentary and when you're learning stuff as a filmmaker, it gets you kind of excited because, you know, you've either I completely missed something or the audience will also learn something as well.
Yeah.
So it's been great. And then documenting the different events, which the events have been documented pretty well, you know what I mean, from the standpoint of they're streamed, they're live, you can go back and watch all of that. But what we're trying to do really is create something that is a balance between something that could bring somebody up to speed with what's happening in the movement,
right,
but then also provide new information for those people that are a part of the movement and might be able to see, you know, a different side of things, or maybe some additional information, or give them at least a tool that they could put their family down in front of. Because I mean, I was just talking to a friend of mine here in Tulsa, and he was saying that he grew up liberal and you know, and it has been part of the movement and actually been to several of Clay's events as well. But he was talking about how he has several friends now that are liberals that are calling him and starting to go, I think something's going on.
Right.
And so, cause this is all just really weird and things are bad. And you know what I mean? So when you have people that are staunch liberals that are starting to ask the questions, once somebody asks the questions, it sticks.
The door's open. Right.
The door's open, man. There's no going back. So,
yeah. And I have to say, because we've been on the tour together, there's something magical that happens on this tour. It is really faith-based, and there's a real love between the people that go, that are on our team, that travel around together. I encourage anyone to get out there and go, but you can also get a lot from watching what is going on and what Matthew has, because he's a lot of backstage stuff with a lot of people you're seeing out there on different shows, including myself. You see another side to it. And I think that's amazing about the people get entered into this program, but also a backstage pass to this is a real, that is amazing, because that's where I get most of my renewed energy every time I go. But we also, you take the time, I take the time to literally meet with thousands of people face-to-face, people that have felt for the last 2 years, isolated, marginalized, lost friends, family, because of what we're talking about. And suddenly, once you get there, you have the feeling of, oh my God, we are the majority. We are, people love the country. All of this isn't true. And people love the flag and the Constitution, the founding fathers. But you also delve in deeper, even in my part of working with you on the project, there's still, everyone has their reason to be there. And it's very heartfelt and people are very passionate. And getting to know everyone that's on the tour and the way that you covered each individual, I think is really an amazing experience, because I think it motivates people to find their own passion inside and play their own part along the way. Now for you, you said that you learned some things along the way that you didn't necessarily think about. What are some key takeaways that changed, that informed you beyond what you already thought?
Well, so that's what's interesting is, like, as a documentary filmmaker, you know, it's like bringing my own voice and bringing my own flavor, you know, and the flavor of my team into the conversation. I think it is going to be really interesting, because we actually delve into a lot of history, and we delve into actually a little bit of quantum physics, which is fun.
Cool.
And so people are like, wait, hold on a second. You're the Patriot movement and you're bringing in quantum physics, like what the heck, you know?
Right.
But there's some really amazing things happening in science that I think kind of just lend metaphorically to what's going on. And so, you know, I'm working to create an experience for people that it's not just watching a truncated version of the event, right? It's really, you know, we go into a bit of Clay's story. We go into a little bit of Pastor Artur's story. You know, we talk about how the events kind of got started, but then we also go back in history and time, and we talk to William Federer, who is an extraordinary historian. I mean, the guy, like, you sit down and he just rattles off like dates and quotes
I love that.
And stuff. Like just like you're going, like, how do you keep that all in your head? Like, he doesn't refer to notes. The guy just like is just walking encyclopedia of history. And we sat down and we did a 3-hour interview with him.
Wow.
And it was just extraordinary what we learned about the founders and where they got their inspiration. And I think people are going to be really surprised. And we do talk a lot about God on this, because I really do believe that God's in the move. You know, I think that the reason why, like, we're seeing what we're seeing happen, I mean, we can say like, oh, well, people are waking up and people are like paying attention and stuff like that. But I think that God is the one that's doing the waking. I think that he's doing the shaking. And, you know, it's like grabbing people by the shoulders and like waking them up and like, hey, you know, right. Your house is being robbed, you know, and we have to get up and we have to get up and actually do something with that information. Right. But I believe that he's the one that's opening people's eyes and shedding light on some of this stuff. And so, so we talk about that quite a bit, and we talk about, and we weave in, like, you know, the interviews with people, the information. And my hope, like I said, is to create something that not only, you know, somebody who, you know, like you and I, who have been paying attention for decades, you know, of what's going on, you know, and when all of a sudden it's like, you know, you have friends come up to you and go like, did you know, blah, 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 the Federal Reserve, yada, yada. And you're like, yeah, you know, it's like, yeah. you know, I've known that for a while. I'm glad you do now, but you know, right. like, I'm not really surprised, but people like that, but then also doing something that, you know, really kind of straddles that line, because you've got to, you've got to bring people in slowly, right? You can't just, you know, like when you wake up, right? It's like, you know, it's like you either got people that are like, oh, I need my coffee, right? You know, and they can't really like talk to you until they have their cup of coffee, right? And you got to kind of like ease in, like my wife's like that, you know, it's like, I know I don't talk to her for about 45 minutes. Right. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's like, you know, it's good. Here's your coffee, you know, cause I usually get up first, you know, it's like, I'm usually awake and I've already, you know, listened to a couple of things and worked on some stuff. And it's like, and so I give her a coffee and then I leave her alone for about a half an hour, you know? So it's kind of like that, you know, with people, right? It's like people that are waking up to all of this stuff, they're a little bit stunned, maybe a little bit groggy, you know, they're kind of stumbling through this, you know, like, and so creating something that helps, you know, ground people, you know, foundationally in some of our, in some of the roots of our history, because unfortunately we've been, because of the government school system, right. you know, a lot of people have not been taught, you know, some of the foundational history of our country. And I think when we go back and we look at that, it's like, it's just, it's really, really awe-inspiring. Yeah. And it gives you courage to face what it is that we're facing today, because you see parallels and you see things that happened in the past that are like, wait a minute, they're doing the same thing today. Right. Like, hold on a second. Like, literally the playbook is the exact same. Right. And so, and if, and when you look at it and you're like, okay, wait, they beat it back then. We can beat it now. Right. We just have to understand what they were standing on to beat it. Right. right? So.
Yeah. That's the amazing thing to me. I go back and I look at quotes by Madison and Jefferson and Ben Franklin and all, and they're more relevant, it seems, right now than ever. Because that's where you can find a lot of, like I call it the American Revolution 2.0, because we are at yep. a place where an unprecedented yep. situation happened in the past year with the election and with a lot, in a lot of different areas. But you go back to the founders, you and I are big fans of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, all mm-hmm. this stuff that maybe we took for granted. And I think that's mm-hmm. been a really big part of what you document, is people realizing we have solutions. We just need to use yep. them fearlessly, because yep. you know, they've turned the Patriot Act on us as domestic terrorists. What that yep. definition means: patriots who love America and our founding and our founding documents, and want to go back to, you know, constitutional law and what was intended. And I think that that's happening. But I love the way that you weave it all in, but also make it fun. You brought up God. This event is yep. very much. We have lots of pastors there, including Pastor yep. Arthur. And we know that once you get there, and I encourage everyone to go to themelkshow.com. We have a list of all the dates on there, and join us, because it's one thing. And once you go, you're going to want the documentary even more mm-hmm. because of the right. experience. It's truly amazing. If you can't get there, the documentary goes way into why people are there, what matters, and where we're going, mm-hmm. and has a lot yep. of faith. Now, you and I spent I spent 16 years, you spent longer in Hollywood, and you actually had a very successful career, as did your wife, in production and filmmaking prior. Mm-hmm. You have finally made the move, as a lot of mm-hmm. people we know in common have over the years. What is your take right now on the entertainment industry and the future of filmmaking and entertainment in general right now, now that a lot's being revealed and we're seeing that, you know, a lot of what we thought was art was not art. It was brainwashing.
Oh, great. I don't know. Honestly, like, it's crazy. When your eyes are open to that, when your eyes are open to, you know, a lot of this performance art and stuff like that we've seen, you know, Super Bowl halftime shows, all that sort of stuff. And as artists, you know, for a long time, I said, even as somebody who knew about the deep state, as somebody who, you know, like I said, been studying the Federal Reserve for years. And my dad was a gold bug way from back in the 80s. You know what I mean? Like, he, you know, would always talk about the New World Order and things like that back then, having conversations about that from a very young age. Even with that, I think I was really, really disgusted, you know, recently, with just that revelation of just how dark it's becoming with some of this performance art. And when you start watching it and you start paying attention to what it is that they're doing as an artist, like, you kind of like, you know, there's a certain part of you that wants to just kind of accept, you know, symbolism and imagery and things like that, because, you know, it's what we thrive on as artists. Right. But when all of a sudden you start just that revelation of like, oh, wait, they're communicating something that's not what I value.
Right.
And you start paying attention to that. It's like, you just can't not see it. And you see it everywhere now. And it's really kind of funny to me because as a Christian, you know, I remember one of my first, you know, ventures really into this, this whole industry and everything was, you know, like I asked God, I'm like, why do Christian movies suck? And this was, you know, like 15 years ago. And I was like, and he's like, you know, and he started showing me, and what the funny thing was, is that, you know, part of the reason why Christians, the movies, you know, really suck, if you kind of go back to Aristotle and you look at the way that, you know, the structure of storytelling,
right,
you know, theme was, you know, like for Christians is like massive, like you got to have the message, right? And when you focus on theme, it becomes like this kind of top heavy pyramid that doesn't quite work. And so with, you know, cause you need plot up at the capstone, right? There's plot and then there's character and then there's theme. Well, the funny thing is that I've actually watched Hollywood become so theme heavy, like so message centric, like they're just shoving it down people's throats now. And the good thing is that people are rejecting it. I mean, people are rejecting it by the fact that the box office numbers are bad and they try to blame that on COVID, but it's because people aren't paying attention anymore. People are canceling Netflix.
Right.
You know, people are looking and going like, why are these things in my kids' cartoons? You know what right. I mean? Like they're just like starting to like, you know, revert back and go like, I want to watch some older stuff or whatever, you know, because, and people are really hungry and I'm looking forward to, I really think there's going to be a movement. I really think that there's going to be a movement for new content that just is pure storytelling, right? It's just, it's better. I mean, it's connecting more with universal values that, you know, I hold that, you know, most people, like you were saying, like you go to these reawakening tours and, you know, you find people that you're like, wow, there's a lot more people that think and believe like me. And that's why they tried to keep us away from each other. That's why they used COVID and medical tyranny to try and say like, oh yeah, you know, you got to stay in your house. You can't go and talk to people, you know, you can't like whatever. And, you know, and they were trying to just control this narrative. And this is the same thing that they did back, going back to the founders. They did the same thing back then. They tried to keep people, the Riot Act, you know, there's all this stuff that they tried to implement to keep people from talking to each other because they understand the power of assembly. And so when you find people that are like you and you realize like, wow, there's a real market for people. I'm looking forward to being a part of that,
yeah.
You know, that new system that helps bring, you know, storytelling back, because that was the other thing too. I was talking to Joy about it. I'm like going, when you understand, like when you watch like Out of Shadows,
right.
You're right. And you go like, wow, like, there's been mind control stuff in Marvel movies and, you know, all this stuff. Right. And I think the thing that really saddens me as a storyteller is how badly storytelling has been hijacked and utilized for propaganda or, you know, psychological purposes. And I'm like going like, God, like give us wisdom on how to unravel that, because, you know, what's going to happen. I, you know, you know, fear, I think is maybe a strong word, but you know, what I'm afraid of is that people are going to find out more and more how much they've been lied to and manipulated by these movies that we've all come to know and love. And they're going to reject storytelling, you know, and they're going to reject, you know what I mean? And it's like, I'm like, how do we as storytellers figure out how to return storytelling to its pure form,
right?
Outside of propaganda, right? Because I think that's going to be really, really important, you know, in the coming years.
Yeah, I know that Mike Smith, who did Out of Shadows with Liz Crokin and a bunch of amazing other people, and Mickey Willis from Plandemic, there are people that are in that have left Hollywood that are looking for an alternative. Because what a lot of people don't know that aren't in the business like we are is you can make a movie, but if you don't have a distribution channel, which is the power Hollywood has had over real filmmakers that are trying to put out positive, moral-based, educational history, real history, they don't get the distribution channel. So now we have to work on that. And we also have to work on funding. What I do notice, and I've been told many times, is, well, first thing is you and I both saw the diversity, inclusion, and this completely disregarding talent, earning it, everything mm-hmm. that you and I and Joy went out there when we went out. We thought that it was all about, you know, showing up, doing your 100-hour days as a PA, you know, working your way up the DPA, and then all to realize, wait a minute, what is happening here? Because about 10, 15 years ago, I started to see people that really, you know, had Emmys and had worked for years, great writers and filmmakers and directors like you and producers, were no longer getting jobs based on the most ridiculous stuff. And to me, God created all of this art and it's been hijacked. And I believe that there is a place for it, but the whole division, diversity situation, I think is very apparent in the lack of talent, in the making, you know, now it's like in Hollywood, to make a movie, you have to have this many people of this color and this many people of this, which this new movie that came out, I guess, The Eternals, it is a complete and total, like, I don't know what's happened at Marvel, except for that they took money from the wrong people at the top. But, you know, all of these things, even turning Superman into side gender, you know, all this stuff is just so hitting people in the face and they're rejecting it. But I think that there's a real hunger, like you're saying, for old school filmmaking that, you know, my whole thing when I went to film school and started screenwriting and all of that was I wanted to be put out movies that went at the very end when people like when the credits start rolling, they can't say anything. Because they're taking in like what they just saw and maybe changing their minds, their opinions. We weren't allowed to do that. They wouldn't buy it. And if I did sell something, the next meeting was, well, can you change this? Can you change that?
Yep.
But then what we both realized is how embedded the CIA has been in the entertainment industry, and especially in video games. You have a bunch of children. And I know that you you guys take them everywhere. They're very mature for their ages because you guys treat them like people, not like, you know, but how do you feel about what is being sold and pushed on your children?
Well, yeah, I think that's the thing that, you know, as a parent, you know, we have like several groups of children, actually. We have 8 children total. And so we have ones that are in their late 20s. We've got ones that are in their late teens, early 20s, and then we have ones that are yet 10. So, you know, because Joy and I just decided, well, you know, I don't know what we decided.
I think you really enjoy being parents.
Obviously. We do enjoy being parents. And we got married and we realized like, oh, you know, it'd be really great to have some kids together because otherwise we'd be empty nesters right now. But it's been hard to watch the older teenagers really succumb to the propaganda that's being fed to them. And that's been really sad. And it's given us some pause on, you know, and some of those were challenges because they came from, you know, a blended family. And so there's influences that you don't have control over, you know, when you're sharing, you do your best to co-parent as best as possible. But, you know, it is difficult in those situations to monitor and to guide as much as you possibly can as parents. But with the younger ones, you know, we've just been really working with them on, you know, foundational principles. You know, where do these things that we hold dear, where does freedom, liberty come from? And, you know, and honestly, it comes from God. I mean, it's like the Judeo-Christian ethic is the only belief system that celebrates the individual. And you can look at and there's lots of documentation that backs that up. That isn't just a theory. That isn't just an opinion. Nope. And so when you have that, and every other belief system in the world celebrates the group. And when you celebrate the group, it only leads to tyranny. And when you celebrate the individual, it leads to liberty. And so, you know, understanding some of the, and there's some of the stuff that I'm giving you a little tease. That's some of the stuff that we talk about in the documentary, but with our kids, that's what we've been focusing on. So we've been focusing on, you know, that, and then also just, you know, really working on, you know, shielding them from some of the current stuff. Like I said, I mean, turn on Netflix. It's like, I can't even let my kids browse through Netflix anymore.
I know.
I can't even let them browse through Disney Plus anymore. I mean, it's like, there's just stuff where you're like going, I don't agree with that.
Right.
You know, or either that, or, you know, maybe it's just something I don't want my kids to watch yet.
Right.
See, that's the thing. Yeah. Is it's like there's, they talk about having these parental controls and, you know, all this other stuff, but they're just complete bunk. And, you know, and unfortunately, you know, we have a generation that's growing up, you know, connected to these devices.
Right.
And I think as parents, you know, that's one of the things that you have to monitor. You just have to be able to like, hey, it's time to turn off the device. Right. You know, it's time to, you know, and so we've bought them a lot of books. You know, they're avid readers, which is great. And I think that just instilling that passion and being a parent, right? Because see, that's the thing is it's like, just because we've been taught as parents for some reason these days, and I see it with a lot of people where it's like, all of a sudden your kid's like throwing up some sort of stink or something like that. It's like, you give in to them. And it's like, no, you're the parent there because you're the parent, you know, you're supposed to be parenting. You're supposed to be teaching them. And sometimes in life, you know, you have to do things that maybe you don't necessarily want to do at the time, but are good for you. Right. You have to eat your vegetables, all that sort of stuff. You know, sometimes you got to drink that green smoothie or do a cleanse or whatever, you know, right.
Yeah.
But you know, and you do it because you know, it's good for you. And that's what you have to learn as children, they don't always get that. And so just having the courage as a parent to step in and say like, no, I don't think that's a good idea. And having a conversation that's age appropriate with them as to why, I think helps give them some thought. And I think that's the thing that I would encourage parents to do, anybody that's listening, is, you know, figure, you know, because if you can control the information, right, that's coming into your kids' lives, it's not that you're afraid to have those conversations with them, but it's knowing when and seeking God. I mean, I seek God all the time, but seeking when to have those conversations with them appropriately, because when you, as a parent, you know, we learned about this with drugs, right? When you talk about drugs with your kids at a young age, right, at the appropriate time, and you tell them, hey, this isn't a good idea. Well, that is the first conversation that they have. It's an earmark. Right. It's like in the movie, was it Inside Out by Pixar, which, you know, it's like, it forms, you know, a memory, it forms a pivotal moment that's rock solid in their mind. And when you've done that, then all of a sudden it's like every other mention of that topic then gets compared to that first one that you had with them. And I think that applies to everything in life. It applies to, you know, history. It applies to, you know, it applies to morals. It applies to, you know, everything, right. You know, so.
Yeah. And something else you've been doing, which I've been doing as well, but you're doing it with children, is you and Joy have been driving around the country like I have. Mm-hmm. And I think that is that's a big deal. How has taking your children on the road, seeing America from the big picture, you know, you were in LA, I'm in New York, but getting out, because you're taking them all over the country, which I think a lot of parents wish that they could do and they can do. But how is that informing your children in that you're seeing? Because it must be, it's a real different experience to really know America than to just sitting in a classroom and hear about it. How is the traveling around the country helping your children develop a sense of what America is all about?
Well, they're just developing a love for the country, right? It's developing an appreciation for the country. We've gotten to go to Mount Rushmore. We've seen the St. Louis Arch. We've been up at the top of St. Louis Arch. We've seen, you know, Lake Michigan. We went to Pikes Peak. We went to the top of Pikes Peak and learned about America the Beautiful. And, you know, and so it's really been a formative year, I think, for both of them. And then also being a part of these tours and meeting other people and meeting other patriots and, you know, and, you know, getting to meet General Flynn, you know, I mean, like, that was just, you know, like my little boy still talks about, like, God, General Flynn, you know, and, you know, he knows Trump, you know, and so, and, you know, and they pray for the country. They pray for President Trump. They pray for, you know, what's going on, because they understand that there's things that are odd. They don't maybe understand it in a very childlike way. You know, and they were homeschooled before everything. So, you know, their life really wasn't upended all that much. And we worked really hard to kind of navigate that turbulence with them as best as we possibly could. But, you know, as a parent, you know, I think what's really kind of crazy and amazing about this whole thing is that there's so many people that are working remotely now, you know, and it's like, I encourage them, you know, it's like, hey, you know, get an RV, you know, take some time, you know, get out and see, you know, get your kids on homeschool, you know, and you know, and yeah, the kids, they still have to do math and they still have to do, you know, writing and all that sort of stuff. But I mean, good God, like they had like history and economics lessons. I mean, we went to these tours and we had a DVD table and they were there helping, you know, make change and, you know, selling the DVDs. And
I saw you put them to work. That's the other thing about the events. Parents bring their kids, the kids have a great time. People that wait in line to like do the meet and greets and everything. Every time a parent comes up with a kid that like knows who I am or knows what's going on, they're so into it. The kids, it's your kids understand if you show them. And that's a great thing about the Reawakening Tour. And I'm glad you brought it up. It is somewhere you can take your kids. It is somewhere that, you know, kids are really embraced by the Patriots. And I think we all understand that the future generation is now we have two generations out there that have been dumbed down, that have been deceived about phony history and all of that. But when you bring your kids and they hear the speakers and they get so much love from everyone around, I highly encourage people to bring their kids. And the other thing that I think is really key here is unity. You know, united we stand, divided we fall isn't just a thing. That's what's going to win this war. And we've been divided on all by the powers that be. So we don't pay attention to them. We pay attention to things they created to keep us at each other's throats. And one thing you brought up that I just want to briefly talk about, because people hear homeschooling, because after the COVID great reset, basically, that they've tried to put on the planet by destroying or the middle class, but a lot of other stuff, it really opened a lot of eyes that I don't think they expected the other side. I keep saying they wanted their great reset, but they're getting the great awakening and that great reset, and all these people are being exposed. But on another level, what's happened with children, watching these school boards that are fully infested with open society, George Soros backed communists, basically, who hate America. And they know that if they can get our children young enough, that they will have their so-called, in my opinion, Hitler's youth or this climate crazy youth. And that's the seriously dangerous. So you and a lot of other people I've talked to on the road and Joy have been homeschooling. And I think a lot of parents, they wish that they could, but in their mind, they have this idea that they're going to have a like 8 to 3 o'clock schedule, or they're not going to be good enough, or they're not, the kids are going to miss out. What I'm finding is that children that are homeschooled are far more educated, intelligent, understand what's going on, and are also, it seems to me, much more adjusted, good humans that are really motivated and disciplined. So for all those parents out there that keep saying, God, I want to take my kid out of school, but you know, what if I make a mistake? Or can you just give a little insight into homeschooling?
Oh, for sure. Thanks. Yeah, because I was actually homeschooled. I never went to public
school. Get out. Wow.
I'm completely homeschooled.
Good for your parents.
Yeah, my mom and dad were very early adopters in the homeschool movement back in the 80s. So I started in second grade and I graduated in 96 and got my GED, and, you know, there you go. And so, you know, it's kind of the way that it's interesting, because there's an analogy I think that might serve, is that homeschool kids, kind of like you said, see the world differently in the same way that a chiropractor or a holistic doctor sees the world medicine differently than medical doctors, right?
True.
Because medical doctors have been trained in a different way to look at the body. They've been looking at the body as like, oh, the body's stupid, and so we got to give it these drugs to you know, because it's all about like it's all about, you know, the world is dangerous and there's these invasive systems that are going to come in and destroy. And so we got to like teach this stupid body how to interact with this system. And that's not the way that it is. It's actually the other way around, is that our body is actually pretty amazing and our system is pretty awesome. And if we can actually just keep it healthy, it creates this force field and this barrier around us that helps keep all of the adverse stuff away. And it's very similar like that homeschool, I think, is that homeschoolers are really encouraged to think for themselves because they think a little bit more holistically. You know, people don't understand, really. I mean, and I would encourage, I wish I could remember the guy's name. I'll have to look it up. I think his name is James Grotto or something like that. But he's written some really amazing books on the public education system. And he actually won He actually won Teacher of the Year in New York.
Oh, wow.
Back in the late 80s. And but then when he won the award, he basically just kind of accepted the award and torched the system and quit. One of the things that he brought up was, we've talked about that, you know, the institutionalization of schooling, how it looks like a prison, you know, I mean, all that sort of stuff, right? But, you know, like the people don't understand what, when you're in school and you're learning history, right? And all of a sudden 45 minutes is up, your teacher's in the middle of explaining a concept, the bell rings, you close your books, you go to the next class, and now we're going to learn about science. They don't understand what that does to you mentally. It actually encourages you to compartmentalize things. It compartmentalizes life in a way that is not real. Right. And so what happens then is that when you get into these conversations with people, and it's happening less and less frequently, thank God, but back in the day, back even a couple of years ago, you would have conversations with people about, you know, China, right? And then have people conversations about people, you know, and kind of go like, wait a minute, hold on, there's, or like terrorism, like, so for example, terrorism, and then have a conversation about the border wall. Right. And you can't, and people couldn't make the connection that there's a connection, right?
Right, sure.
They were like, well, that's not this, you know?
Mm-mm.
And
right,
so,
that's true.
And so there's a, so that's, you know, when you, that's the product of the educational system. It's the product of the government educational system. It gets people to compartmentalize thought. And that's just, you know, like as a homeschooler, I don't have that problem because I look at things and I see connections. And that's what's kind of interesting about the documentary, like I was saying. It's like, yeah. I think about history and then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, this physics thing is kind of cool. And, right. You know, and it's like, and I hope that, you know, I'm creating something that people are really going to want to sit down and watch and enjoy because it really is kind of like a traveling through my brain. Right. But, you know, and I hope my brain is interesting. You know, but go to reawakeningseries.com and pre-order the film.
I wanted to also jump in because I actually worked at Mar-a-Lago for the Trump family and Donald mm-hmm. Trump personally. I got to know him. I got to know the family. I saw them as one thing. I then saw them again in Hollywood when he had the number one show for 14 years that I thought was one of the only educational shows ever on TV because they gave out assignments and you're at home thinking, well, what would I do if he gave out that assignment to me? You know, I really felt that way, especially when it wasn't the celebrity ones, when it was just normal mm-hmm. people. You know, I was like, I used to be like to my mom, I want to go on The Apprentice. I could do it. I could come on.
Right.
You know, it really was, it made you think. And it was, he did a lot more than people thought. And then we saw 2016, we were both in Hollywood. If Trump showed up at your premiere or at the Golden Globes, there's a line of people, celebrities too, waiting to meet him, shake his hand, all of that. When I worked for him at Mar-a-Lago, people loved him that worked there mm-hmm. and loved him because he made eye contact. He knew your name. He'd ask about your family. He made you feel like, not that you were lucky to work there, but that you were really part of a team that was picked of the best of the best. And people, and it was seasonal for a lot of people there. He does live there, but it's seasonal for the club. And people came back year after year after year, still to this day. He's beloved among his employees at all of his companies, by the way. You did a documentary before this one called The Trump I Know. And then you watched 4 years of them tearing apart a person and creating a caricature. I want people to also, we'll put the link for Trump I Know below as well, because it's a real eye-opening film. But I wanted just real quick for you to talk about what you learned in that and what you've seen happen over the last 4 years in terms of the reality as opposed to the myth of Donald Trump.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting is that I didn't vote for him in 2016. I didn't like him. I was a Ron Paul fan.
Oh, yeah, but I love him too.
Yeah, I do too. But I didn't. You know, I bought into the narrative with Trump. And but then actually, what happened was I started watching him govern. And then when the documentary came available, and somebody asked me to direct the documentary based on the women surrounding Trump, you know, I was all on board because at that point I had already broken down the narrative in my mind. You know, I had already seen, like, when people go like, oh, why did he tweet that? And all of a sudden I'm like, oh, he's trolling him. You know, he's opening up people's eyes. He's pulling the curtain back and he's showing the nakedness of the emperor. Right. I mean, that's what he was doing. And people just didn't understand it. And then the media was like, oh, he's claiming to causing division and all this other stuff. And it's like, no. He is pulling back the curtain on the thing that you don't want to be pulled back. And you hate him for it. And so, it was interesting to be on that film and, you know, to meet these people that knew him directly. And that was the way that, you know, I approached the documentary as a filmmaker, as a director. You know, you're always interested in finding like, what's the story? What's the big idea here? And to me, the big idea can't just be about Trump. It has to be universal. And so, you know, universally, like, how do we know somebody, you know, and how do you really know somebody? Because I grew up, you know, with a dad who, you know, taught me that it was okay to tell people like, hey, I don't know enough about that to have an opinion.
Right.
Right. And this day and age, people don't understand that they've been manipulated by the social media to be shamed into not having an instant opinion about something. Right. It's like if you don't have some sort of opinion within 5 minutes of hearing a story about some sort of lion in a zoo or whatever, or the, you know, the kid that, you know, that's supposed, gosh, I can't remember his name right now, but, you know, like was, you know, taunting the Indian in front of, you know, the Native American man.
Right.
Yeah. That whole thing. Like, if you don't have like an instant opinion about things, people don't understand that that's how you're manipulated by the media, because the media just gives you talking points and then they manipulate your thoughts and manipulate your opinions. And so from a documentary standpoint, you know, I was interested in exploring that idea. It's like, how do you really know somebody? Right. You actually give some thought, you talk to people that actually know them, and then preferably you go and actually talk to the person. Right.
Yeah.
And so that's what we did. You know, we delved into it. We looked at like the way, like you just said, like celebrities loved him. I mean, I found a clip of like him on hosting Saturday Night Live. You know what I mean? Like, you know, back in, was it 2004 when The Apprentice was hot, you know?
Right.
And everybody loved him back then. Like you said, you know, like he was in all these movies, his Zoolander and Home Alone 2 and, you know, all this stuff. And everybody just thought Trump was cool. And then all of a sudden it's like he runs for the Republican Party and all of a sudden it's like he's the devil. And, you know, and so, but like you said, I mean, we heard countless stories similar to like what your experience, that, you know, he would engage with people that were just the server or, you know, the gardener or whatever, because he felt like he would get the real story of how things were actually happening from them, because the managers would always, you know, could potentially just be giving them, you know, not necessarily
what
false
he wants
reports,
to hear.
But inflated reports about how things are great, you know? And so, you know, but that's just the way that he's always been, and he governed that way. And so, you know, it was interesting because, you know, it opened up people's eyes to the cognitive dissonance that was actually happening. And that's, again, like we don't remember things. We don't remember things. It's like things that happened, God, you know, 10 years ago, people can't even remember anymore because the information is coming at us so fast and heavy. And that's what we're hoping to do with even just this documentary, is just encouraging people to remember some things and then build your understanding of what's going on right now from a viewpoint that remembers the past. And I think that will give a lot of people courage to move forward. Yeah.
Awesome. So I want to encourage everyone, also on my website, themalkayshow.com, under our partners page, you can find tons of stuff about the Reawakening Tour, how to get involved, how to show up, but also you can get the documentary. If you say Mel K, of course, it'll be even better.
Yeah. you get 10% off.
10% off. And your odds to get the backstage pass are probably higher because I got a real connection with God. I gotta tell you. Matthew, it's been a pleasure getting to know you and your wife and your children and watching you go. The documentary is much more than a documentary. It is a experience that you guys actually had and shared with everyone going through. I know everyone on the tour loves you guys and really gave you their full person when you interview them. It's an amazing experience. I encourage everyone to please get go. The Reawakening documentary is really a game changer, and it'll be something that you'll look back at and realize, wow, we came so far. We almost lost this country, but the people rose up, they got together, and they went out there and they made a difference and saved America again. So tell people where they can find you.
Yeah, it's a reawakeningseries.com. Again, use the promo code MELK, buy any one of the packages, and you get the Trump I Know for free.
Awesome.
And it's a pre-order.
It enough. Yep. Because it's that's great.
Totally. No, yeah. It's a pre-order, and the first episode comes out on November 15th. I don't have a scheduled release for the second episode yet, but we are working on it. I actually working in the editing right now. This is, my editor over here, Peter, he's right there. He's editing. I got,
we're in the throes.
We're in the throes. But yeah, reawakeningseries.com. You can also follow us on Telegram. We're often on there at Reawakening Series on Telegram. And yeah, I mean, it's just been an honor to be a part of capturing this moment in history, to help bring some context, hopefully, and to present, like you said, what's happening at these events and the information that's happening at these events in a documentary format, which, a lot of people really enjoy these days. Documentaries are hot. People love documentaries right now. Right. So.
Well, everyone also is thirsting for some truth now, realizing right. that they've gotten so little for so long. Yep. So I want to thank you again. Please also, if you can make it to the events, both of us are there, and it's an amazing experience. We know people that have met their mate, met a whole bunch of new friends after being isolated, and it grows, and you leave there and you're motivated to find your own passion to play a part in the movement, because everyone has a part to play. Just find what part is yours and get out there. We need to mobilize and we need to be brave. And Matthew Thayer has been brave in the front lines of it all. So thank you, Matthew, so much. Please come back when it comes out, and often. Soon I'm going to do a roundtable with filmmakers that have left Hollywood and figure out collectively best ways going forward.
Totally.
People are dying for content that they can tolerate and they don't feel manipulated by.
Well, I wanted to comment on that, because you mentioned the distribution. It's like having bullets without a gun. It's like, it's exactly that. It's we need these distribution channels, and unfortunately we've given these powerhouse guns to these people that are using bullets and munition on our own people now, and we need to take back. And so, like, with our website, we created a website that was completely free of the deep state, completely free of Amazon servers, all of that sort of stuff. And so we've created our own distribution with this documentary. It will be available on Charisma Plus. I do need to mention that. It will be available on Charisma Plus for those that might have that app. But reawakeningseries.com is actually its own streaming service. Right. We've actually created a back end to it where you can watch the video right there. And you know that the money is going directly to the filmmakers. It's going to people that have your values, that share value, and share the values that, make this country great.
Right. And to continue putting out, you're funding the filmmakers that will continue to put out content that will be good for you and your family and going forward, that is not manipulated to manipulate you, but to educate, enlighten, inform, and entertain as was intended. So thank you so much, Matthew. And supporting this documentary supports all of the artists and filmmakers who've been marginalized in the end. If you put your money towards the good people, the good content will come. So thank you so much, Matthew. I will say hi to Joy, and I will see you very soon in San Antonio.
Oh, yes. We'll be there.
See you soon. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.